discovering stories of courage, determination, and hope. Welcome to Faith Radio's On the Road. Now, here's Ryan Thomas.
Life is short, I want to live it well. One life, one story to tell. Life is short, I want to live it well. And you're the one I'm living for.
Dedication is one of the qualities we most look up to, and one we're constantly trying to build in ourselves. In sports, it can make all the difference when it comes to game time, representing the edge between two talented teams. But when it comes to your dedication to God's team, the one that matters more than any other, what kind of player would Jesus say that you are? Mr. T.C. Stallings knows a thing or two about the dedication it takes to succeed as a professional athlete, but his real passion is helping us become everyday followers of Jesus on and off the field, in and out of season. From that passion comes his new book, Playing on God's Team, a 21-week devotional for building true Christian athletes. And you quite likely recognize T.C.'s name from his acting career, including a lead role in the hit film War Room. He's also a speaker, a minister, and he played football professionally in the Arena League in Europe and in Canada. Sir, welcome to the show. It's great to have you here today.
Oh, thank you. Humbled by the introduction. Thanks for having me on today. Appreciate it.
You're most welcome. And speaking of the introduction, I mean, you can't go by a biography like yours without asking about its pretty epic diversity. I mean, you are truly a renaissance man here, TC. You've got football, authoring books, acting, ministry. So the question I think that begs to be asked is, what did you want to be when you grew up?
Oh, it's funny. Me and my wife joke about it a lot. I don't know if any of your listeners out there or yourself is Forrest Gump fans from the movie, but we laugh about it like, man, you live a Forrest Gump life. You've gotten into a little bit of everything. There's some things people only dream about. And, yeah, it's just been a humble blessing to have my hand in a bunch of different things. But it was like you said, to answer the question, I mean, most of it was not the childhood plan. I wanted to be a pro football player. So out of all those things, that's really all I ever had my heart set on, playing pro football.
Understood. Well, and you did that and very well as well. I want to dig deeper on your life story in just a moment. But, of course, this book, why did you want to write the book? And why now when you have so many other things going on as well, obviously?
Well, you know, it's interesting. This was actually something that I've been wanting to do for many, many years, because as people will find out in a book, it dates back to my college years when I really, really, truly learned what it truly means to be a Christ follower. I learned some very, very key points, you know, just simple things like, well, it's simple now, but it wasn't simple to me then, that Jesus was not the Lord of my life. I thought he was, but he wasn't. You know, football was Lord, because football pretty much ran my life. I gave everything I had to it, but Jesus was my savior. You know, I mean, I just believed in him. I figured, hey, when I die, I'm going to heaven, because I got baptized when I was a kid, and that's all that needed to happen. And so you go to college just doing anything you want to do in life, but you carry this belief with you, and you think that's enough. But I got smacked in the face, as you'll see in the book, with a couple of scriptures that says, you know, even the demons believe and shudder in fear. That's James 2:19. And so that's not enough just to believe. You know, Satan believes that God exists. That, you know, he's, but he doesn't follow him. He's not a Christ follower.
No.
So all these lessons that I learned, you know, and it changed my life completely and helped me to be a complete follower. I had always wanted to share that, because I know that, man, there'll be another athlete in the same dorm room going through the same things possibly, and they're athletes that are, you know, that are Christian athletes and maybe struggling all across the country. And if I have found something that I know brings me closer to the Lord and can stop them from, you know, being defeated or really hurt by Satan during these college years, which is a tough time, then I want to do something that can help them. I want to be able to tell this story, because everyone who heard the testimony and the story was able to see how to power through the same situations of just what it truly means to be a Christ follower. And the thing is, it wasn't just college. I realized that in every locker room, on every team, it's really tough being a Christian in those locker rooms around the country. So I find the Lord helped me write a book that can help on all levels in any sport, just as long as you understand the concepts of teamwork. Mm-hmm. And so, here I am now at a point where I have the time and space to write it. I have been praying about it, and the Lord opened the door. Here we are. Wow. I mean, that was my sophomore year. I was like 22. So, you know, here we are a bunch of years later, and he said, now it's time.
Oh, it's a great story. I couldn't help but wonder, you talked about encountering those scriptures in a period where you say you weren't living as though God was the Lord of your life. Was it your own private Bible study that led you there, or was it perhaps someone else who encouraged you to look in that direction? I'm just curious.
Yeah, I think it was definitely a build-up, and the Lord used a couple of key people. It all started with me getting involved with FCA. The thing with FCA was funny is I think the Lord got me involved in it so he could set me up for the ultimate revelation of what it truly means to follow him. And what I mean by that, I would just go to the FCA meetings all the time. I would hang out with the other athletes, and it really just made me feel good about my faith, whether I was investing in it like I needed to or not. The fact that I went to this FCA meeting all the time helped me to kind of just feel good about the level I was on. But I ran into some people that would continue to challenge me each week to be better. But all that did was keep me carrying my Bible around, keep me going to church on the weekends, keep me going to a Bible study every now and again throughout the week. But it was enough to just keep me from totally falling off the tracks.
Hmm.
But that was enough for another student to see me walking around with these religious habits. But as he continued to watch me, because I was a popular guy on campus, because I was a star running back on the team and all of that, he also watched my more secret life, like just what I did when I went to parties, what I did at the dorm rooms, and what I did. And he could easily see that I had no clue what it truly meant to follow Jesus Christ.
Wow.
So the Lord used that young man to have a Bible study with me and show me scriptures like James 2:19 and other scriptures throughout the Bible that just simply showed that, hey, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, Jesus, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of the Father. And after just seeing this and just being cut to the heart, I started to pray about the Holy Spirit helping me to make the necessary changes. And just everything that I went through led to me. That's what led to the book. Because I said, man, this changed my life so much that I basically want to be that same kid, like how the kid changed me. I want to write my book in such a way where it can do the same thing to athletes and just regular people all across the world.
That's spectacular. T.C. Stallings is with us on the road today. T.C. is a speaker, an actor, author of the new book, Playing on God's Team, a 21-week devotional for building true Christian athletes. So this concept of playing on God's team, obviously you have the sports metaphor that runs all throughout the book and all throughout your life. Why is this concept so central for you and one that you wanted to talk about?
Well, I think mainly because whether you are a sports fan or you're an actual participant, which I think just divides the world to two kinds of people, even three kinds. You just add the third kind of person, which is somebody who's just familiar with it. Whether you play it, sports, or like sports, you are familiar with sports. Everybody's familiar with the hard work that goes into it, the dedication that goes into it. And so while it was such a central point of emphasis for me, is because, again, like I said earlier, sports was basically Lord for me. It got all my heart, my goals, my dreams, my desires, my drive, my everything. And so when you go to college like that, and when I ran into that kid, when he revealed to me that, you know, I really wasn't following Jesus like I thought I was, and so I see all these scriptures, and I see everything that the Lord requires me to be, well, instantly, after being cut to the heart from this Bible study, I decide, okay, he's right. And this is some of the things I remember from my childhood. I really got to get going. So on my own strength, I just start going for it, just going for it, just trying to do everything right. Well, I fail miserably because, as you know, and many other seasoned Christians know, on your own strength, it's impossible.
Yeah.
That's the whole point of Scripture, to reveal that you need Jesus. Well, I knew that, but I didn't understand the power of the Holy Spirit. And so when I started on my own strength, though, and was failing miserably, I ended up getting so upset with God. I'm yelling, and I'm talking about, you know, where's the Holy Spirit power that I'm supposed to have? And so I read 1 Corinthians 9:24-27, and this will really answer your question. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last ever. So So see, the Bible was speaking my language at this point. And I'm saying to myself, wow, it said they do it for a crown that won't last, but we do it for a crown that will last forever. I'm watching Paul sit up here and compare the athlete of a Christian and then an athlete, and I realized I was the they and the we. I was the Christian and I was the athlete.
Yeah.
So as I compared my athletic abilities and how I hit every team meeting, went to every strength training session, every endurance training session, knew my playbook backwards and forward, did everything my coach said. When I looked at 1 Corinthians 9:24-27, felt like the Lord was speaking to me through scripture saying, see, you're a great player because you did all of that for your football team. But what about my team?
Wow.
You know, as a team is defined as a collection of people coming together for a common goal. So as I looked at this scripture, it just started to hit me like a ton of bricks. You know, I'm like, wow, a Christian is a team then. And then if Christian is a team, then the game we play is life. Well, if the game we play is life, then our opponent in life is Satan. And then if I'm on a team that's called Christians, and that makes God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit my head coaches. And then that means we have a game schedule because the game is life. Well, I do life every day. So my game schedule is 365 days a year, every day, and I'm always playing. And then the playbook is the Bible because that's how God operates in our life. And so when I started, that's how, you know, the metaphors just kept coming and coming and coming. And so it came straight down to what Paul said, effort. How much effort do I give? Now, this isn't the effort to save myself because, you know, God has already done that through his son, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
The effort is to put myself in a position to allow the Holy Spirit to give me the power to do what I need to do. So the effort I'm talking about, how much do you study your playbook? How much do you take God's strength training? How much do you go to God's team meetings? How much do you, you know, allow him to permeate every area of your life? And so if I gave God the type of effort that I gave the University of Louisville football team, then I could be a spiritual champion. I'd be a better player on his team. And so that's what it was all about for me.
That's amazing stuff from T.C. Stallings. He's a speaker, an actor, author of the new book, Playing on God's Team, a 21-week devotional for building true Christian athletes. So let's drill down a little bit. The book, of course, sets up the issue. It draws all the parallels, but then you talk about practical things that we can do. So T.C., how can we start to be more intentional about being a player on God's team?
Well, the first thing you do is I had to, you know, go back and revisit how I first got on Team Jesus. And Paul does this in scripture in Romans 12:1-2, when before he tells people to give everything they got to Jesus Christ, he says, I urge you, brothers. And then before he gets into it, he says, in view of God's mercy. So he has them look at what God has done in their life, you know, by sending his son Jesus Christ to die. And just have them look at how good God is. He says, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. And so we need to take a look at back at how we got on God's team in the first place. You know, I continue to go into sports, and I remember I couldn't afford to go to college on a full, to pay for it. I got there by full scholarship. What a gracious gift, because, you know, my bank account was too low to get me to a major university and play football. So in response to that, I gave my coach everything that I had, because I always would think back to, that big-time scholarship and the thousands and thousands of dollars that they gave me in order to go play via scholarship. So you have to start there and just remember how you got on Team Jesus in the first place. You couldn't afford it. It was a gracious gift. And then you start there. And then secondly, the other practical things that you do is, you know, just like I did everything that my coach did, and if I had a question, I talked to him. My coach used to always say, hey, CC, don't forget, man, I got an open door policy. You can talk to me about anything, so there's no reason for you to be in the dark about anything. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing on Team Jesus. He says, if you lack wisdom, you can ask me. You know, that's James 1:5. So we have to remember to do the basics. Pray. We got to talk to our head coach and stay in communication. And then finally, he gave us the manual. He gave us the playbook. And that's the Bible. So I would never get into a football game without knowing my playbook. It's virtually impossible because you don't know what the coach wants you to do. You're not in sync with your players on the team. So it's the same thing in life. I got to know my playbook because this is how the Lord helps guide us through. So basic things like remembering the commitment, remembering what Jesus did. You know, that's why we take communion. He says, do this in remembrance of me. It always gives you that fuel and that kick, that urge you need, you know, to give him all you got. and then you read your Bible every day, and then you pray every day. This is not rocket science. We're just getting back to the basics. And I wrote the book is basically to drive you and to give the effort at these things that we already know we're supposed to do. That's the real purpose of it. Where are we going to get that effort, that drive from? And that's just coming from just remembering who God is and who his son is and what he's done. Remember how you got on the team. But I would encourage anybody to practically start off by just getting up in the morning or whatever time is great for you, but definitely spend time alone with the Lord in prayer and Bible study. And I call that getting the game plan for each and every day. And letting the death of Jesus Christ be the motivation to do so. So that's just some practical things just to get started and to make a great habit out of. If you do that, you're already way ahead of the game.
That's awesome. Such practical stuff from T.C. Stallings today here on the road. In chapter 3 of this great book, Playing on God's Team, a 21-week devotional for building true Christian athletes, you say this phrase, you say, what we do matters. And you tie that truth to what you've discovered about doing things God's way. What's the story there?
Well, you know, see, this used to be a big time irritant to me until I realized, like, wait a minute, TC, remember, this used to be you, brother. So, you know, you want to have the patience with people that God had with you to even show you this. But what I'm getting at is, you know, I could live my life however I wanted to. And then, but when I wanted something from the Lord, you know, whether it's a football game or anything, you know, you pray before those games. I may not pray all week, but I'm going to pray before my game. And, you know, and then when I do something good or whatever, I might even give God a shout out or two. And that was the extent of my relationship with him. It was like he was just the God genie and everything. And, but when you claim being a Christian, you got people who don't know anything about being a Christian, or they're very skeptical of Christianity and they're very skeptical about the whole thing. They're watching you live your life. And the Bible says that you either gather or you scatter, meaning you either push people away from Christ or you draw people in. And when you live your life and you try to basically say, well, because of God's grace, I can do whatever I want. That's a misrepresentation of what grace is. Grace is what saved you. But God called you on the team to actually do something. Mm-hmm. It's almost like, you know, when I signed my scholarship, the coach didn't say, all right, I'm giving you this gracious gift to get on my team, and now you can come to the university and just sit and do nothing. No, I knew there was a full expectation for me to get on that field and contribute. And it's the same thing. Jesus Christ saved you so that he could use you for his glory. So what you do matters. If you get out here and you just live life any old kind of way you want and then try to claim membership on his team, it makes him look bad. It makes Christianity look bad. And he says, in Scripture, I believe it's Matthew 5:16, let your light shine so that people might see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So what you do matters. If you just go and do whatever you want, it sends the wrong message about what it means to be on Team Jesus, and it really makes it hard for us to share the love of Christ and properly represent him because people are too busy seeing hypocritical behavior. Now, it doesn't mean you're perfect, but what it means, you're passionate about getting it right. So when you screw up, out in the open, you repent out in the open, and then you do better out in the open. And that reflects the power of Jesus Christ that people really need to see. But not just doing whatever you want and then living a very simple life, a crazy life, and then when you do something good, you just say, hey, I want to thank Jesus for it.
You have such a unique perspective on this because, you know, not only were you in high-profile sporting roles for so many years, but of course now in your acting career as well with starring in the film War Room. I mean, people know who you are and people know that you're a Christian. How has that experience of trying to intentionally live out your faith in front of people, in a sense, really shaped how passionate you are about that subject in particular?
Oh, man, in so many ways. In so many ways. I can start simply by saying that once I finally realized, you know, the important things about being a Christian, meaning, you know, I'm a guy that lives with a holy fear of God. By the way, we can have a whole other conversation about that. That's a lot what's lacking in a lot of people's attempts to follow Jesus is they forget who they're dealing with. You're talking about a holy God who can decide whether you breathe the next moment. And I have a holy fear of him, and I learned how important that is. And there are hundreds of scriptures in the Bible about fearing God. In fact, one great one is the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. We don't even begin to be wise until we learn to fear God. So once I learn that part, that I need to understand who I'm dealing with, secondly is to really internalize what Jesus Christ did for me on the cross. And then thirdly, to come across a scripture, and this is basically the basis of my first book, The Pursuit, a scripture, Psalms 139:16, which talks about purpose, where it says, you know, you saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. And when you look at that scripture and you see that God lovingly created a purpose for your life, did it before you were born, I mean, what does that say about your next 5 minutes, next 10 minutes, 10 days, 10 years, whatever? It says that the Lord has a specific plan for it. And then when you look, when you take that and you combine it with this scripture, where it says, Matthew 7:21, not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of the Father. Well, I would think if the Lord took time to lovingly create a purpose for your life, I'd say that's his will. And so I'm really big on making sure that I'm not a victim of Matthew 7:21 by pursuing my own will as opposed to his. So I learned a good little while ago to trade in my will for his will. In doing that, he eliminated the whole football scene and anything else I was pursuing, and I ended up acting, which was never a goal of mine to go and be some Hollywood actor. That was his plan. But his plan led to me coming out to Hollywood, rejecting anything that would not honor him, and showing the world that you can live a life sold out for Christ and then still be successful if it's his will, which it was. And so here I am. I gave up everything. I come out here, and I end up in the number one movie in America, which was about him. And that became my testimony. And so keeping that clean, it's a priority of mine, because the moment somebody finds something messed up about your life, it just crushes everything that Jesus has done through me. So I'm okay to live my life completely out in front for the simple fact that I have nothing to hide. And am I perfect? No. But I am. The mistakes that I make are the ones that every human being is going to make, regardless of how holy you think you are, because you got to have something that makes you dependent on Jesus Christ. So, you know, I may get angry. I may not like somebody. I have to repent of these things. But the Bible says in Romans 2:16 that God will judge everybody's secret life. And see, things like that terrify me, and it's a good kind of fear.
Yeah.
And I want my secret life to be honorable to him. And so if you do well behind closed doors, you will definitely do well out in the public where it matters. And so, you know, I want people to watch me live my life. As I'm studying scripture every day and I'm praying every day with my family, I feel like the Holy Spirit will lead me into the kind of obedience that makes people want to come running to Jesus Christ. And again, not because I'm perfect. I want people to see what I do when I mess up, how I fix it, and I let the Holy Spirit fix it, and I run from it, and I get better. So people will say, you know what? I want a God like that.
Just truth after truth with this good man, Mr. T.C. Stallings, the speaker, the actor, author of the new book, Playing on God's Team, a 21-week devotional for building true Christian athletes. And T.C., before we say farewell in just a few more moments, we want to let people know, where can they go to pick up a copy of the book and to follow you and your Renaissance man as we came in Forrest Gump-style life?
You can get Plan on God's Team or The Pursuit. You know, The Pursuit talks about my trek from Louisville, Kentucky, all the way up to, becoming Tony Jordan in the movie War Room, and it's a great devotional on purpose. And also Playing on God's Team, my newest book, and thank you for having me on to talk about it. The 21-week devotional can be found on my website, www.tcstallings.com, and it'll be in the online store there. And also, I should mention, I have, and these are free, I have, what I'm about to say is free, the online wrap-up videos. These are free. They are a companion with Playing on God's Team. Those are on my website. 21 videos, 21 wrap-up videos. And I kind of come in at the end and tie it up. Kind of, if you like the way I'm talking right now, the things that I talk about, you'll see these videos on there. You can get it. You can also get the book on Amazon and most online retailers, and you can get it at your local bookstore, like your Barnes & Nobles, Lifeway, and stores like that. And I'm on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram, T.C. Stallings. You just look me up there, and I would love to hear how you're doing in your Bible studies and your small groups and, or your individual studies. I would love to hear all that. It inspires me to keep on fighting my own fight and doing what I can to, you know, point people in the right direction when it comes to following Jesus Christ.
One more time, the name of the book, Playing on God's Team, a 21-week devotional for building true Christian athletes. Mr. T.C. Stallings, what an honor to talk with you, sir. It's been a real blast.
All right. Thanks for having me, and God bless you, and God bless you all out there, and thanks for the support.
Thanks for sharing in the story of this latest episode of Faith Radio's On the Road. For more on today's conversation and the full podcast archive of all our episodes, look for On the Road when you visit myfaithradio.com.